This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily via the internet address www.parstoday.com/en. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Intelsat 902, and Eutelsat satellite, as well as via internet. You can also listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for more details.
Here we enlighten you with ayahs 36 through 38 from the Surah Nahl, recited by Qasim Razi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa laqad ba'athna fi kulli ummatin rasulan an i'budullaha wajtanibut taghut. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ هَدَى اللَّهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ حَقَّتْ عَلَيْهِ الضَّلَالَةِ فَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ على هداهم فإن الله لا يهدي من يضل وما لهم من ناصرين وأقسموا بالله جهد أيمانهم لا يبعث الله من يموت بلى وعدا عليه حقا ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون بلى وعدا عليه حقا ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون صدق الله العلي العظيم.
In the name of God, the most gracious, the most compassionate. And certainly we raised in every nation an apostle, saying, serve Allah and shun the Satan. So there were some of them who Allah guided, and there were others against whom error was due. Therefore travel in the land, then see what was the end of the rejectors. If you desire further guidance, yet surely Allah does not guide him who leads astray, nor shall they have any helpers. And they swear by Allah with the most energetic of their oath, Allah will not raise up him who dies. Yeah, is a promise binding on him quite true, but most people do not know.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
The headlines in Israel. After the airstrike in northern Gaza kills Hamas spokesman Abdel Latif Al-Ghan, who has the regime's genocidal war rages on unabated across the besieged territory. Hamas releases a new video saying Israel's war criminal prime minister is putting the captives' lives at serious risk by resuming violent airstrikes on Gaza. Palestinian and other resistance leaders and officials highlight the significance of the International Quds Day, which is dedicated to showing solidarity with the Palestinian people. Hello and welcome, everybody. This is World News. The Israeli regime presses ahead with its aggression against Gaza, killing more civilians in fresh air and artillery strikes on the blockaded territory. One of the latest strikes killed Hamas spokesman Abdel Latif Al-Ghanou after his tent was bombed in Jabalia al-Balad, north of Gaza. The six civilians were killed and several others injured in an airstrike on the vicinity of a mosque in the Nusayrat camp in central Gaza. An attack on another mosque in the same camp killed five civilians. Fatalities were also reported after the regime's airstrikes targeted tents of displaced Palestinians in Al-Zawaida in central Gaza. Israeli air and artillery strikes also targeted the southern cities of Rafah and Khan Yunis. The attacks come as the death toll from Israel's renewed aggression since last Tuesday has reached 830. The overall death toll from the genocide in Gaza is nearing 50,200, with more than 113,800 others wounded. The regime has also issued fresh evacuation orders for thousands of Palestinians in Gaza City, telling them to move south. Our Gaza correspondent, Moti Abu Mosabe, joined us earlier with the latest updates on Israeli attacks across the blockaded territory. Let's take a listen.
Unfortunately, the deadly and destructive Israeli strikes and attacks are still ubiquitous, targeting various parts of Gaza and taking more lives of the Palestinian people. A short while ago, another wave of the destructive airstrikes actually was carried out against different parts of Beit Ha'Yisrael in the northern section of the besieged enclave. And as you know, those attacks were carried out in conjunction with the intense and heavy artillery shelling maintained by the Israeli occupation forces and Israeli tanks, actually, that are still attacking different parts of Beit Ha'Yisrael. And needless to mention that several airstrikes were carried out also against the western parts of Gaza City as well. And here in the central area of Gaza Strip, as you know, the Israeli tanks are opening the gunfire these moments towards the Palestinian people in the eastern part of Al-Maghazi, a refugee camp. And I would like to remind you that over the past couple of hours, the Israeli occupation forces committed one of the appalling massacres in Al-Nusrat refugee camp after the Israeli fighter jets targeted a makeshift tent of the Palestinian people there, in addition to a charitable spot that at least left more than 11 Palestinian civilians dead, in addition to dozens of the injuries. The current situation is still jeopardizing for the Palestinian people at all levels. A lot of ongoing and non-stop Israeli attacks that are still hitting different parts of Gaza Strip, and till this moment, the Israeli occupation forces are still intensifying their attacks against the Palestinian people. And even when it comes to Rafah City, the current situation is still precarious for the Palestinian people.
The UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees has warned that Israel continues to block most attempts by humanitarian organizations to bring essential supplies into the Gaza Strip. UNRWA said the regime's prevention of aid delivery comes as the besieged territory is on the brink of unprecedented famine. It noted that essential supplies in Gaza are running critically low and may only last a few more days unless shipments resume. UNRWA stressed that the current situation in Gaza is deteriorating as Israel's renewed strikes continue into the second week. The UN agency emphasized that there is a near total collapse in all aspects of life in Gaza. It underlined the urgent need for a ceasefire and the entry of thousands of aid trucks, stressing that anything less than that would be a death penalty for Gaza's infrastructure and people. Political analyst Wilmer Leon joined us earlier. He said the main goal of Israel and the United States is to ensure no Palestinians remain in Gaza.
The oppressor, being the Zionists, are trying to exterminate the Palestinians. The Palestinians' objective is, in terms of in the Hamas construct, is to live to fight another day. And so every day that Hamas is still in existence, every day that Palestinians are still in Gaza, is a day that the Zionist government has lost the fight and they are losing the argument. So I don't think it's Donald Trump's idea that's being imposed upon Israel. I think it is Donald Trump has bought into the Zionist idea of exterminating the Palestinians. What we're looking at in terms of Israel and the Palestinians is the replay of American colonists back in the 1700s and 1800s as they attacked the indigenous Native Americans in this country. It's the same play. We've seen this movie too many times. So the whole idea of all we want is security, that's a cover for, in their minds, the only way they can feel secure is if there are no Palestinians remaining in Palestine.
The Hamas resistance movement has released a new video message highlighting the threats posed to Israeli captives in Gaza due to the regime's ongoing onslaught. Hamas warned that continuation of Israel's genocidal war means an unknown fate for the captives. The video included a previously released footage from the Qassam Brigade showing two Israeli prisoners pleading with the regime to end the war. Hamas called Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu a war criminal who's driven by an insatiable thirst for blood, with captives being his first victims. The movement said Netanyahu seeks to engineer ceasefire talks to stall and buy time. It stressed that Netanyahu resumed his war of extermination against defenseless civilians in Gaza in violation of the ceasefire agreement he had signed. Showing a photo of Israeli prisoners killed in the regime's violent airstrikes, Hamas emphasized that returning to go to negotiations equals the release of the Israeli captives. Palestinian and other resistance leaders and officials have addressed the U.S.-Israeli genocide in Gaza and other regional developments in messages issued on the occasion of the upcoming International Quds Day. They've also highlighted the significance of this event, which is marked on the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan, a day dedicated to showing solidarity with the Palestinian people worldwide. Let's take a listen to what they had to say.
At the end of my speech, I underscore the following. First, the unity of the forces of resistance in the region will continue, whatever be the sacrifices. Number two, the Palestinian people will continue to stand resilient on their territory, holding on to their territory, and will not accept any other alternative other than this territory. Number three, the Islamic Jihad movement in Palestine will continue to live up to the pledge, to its pledge, to the martyrs and its principles, and to the martyrs from amongst the Palestinian people, and it will continue to commit to the unity of the forces of resistance against the aggression. Number four, the forces of resistance will continue to commit to their firm stance of liberating all of our captives in exchange for the captives of the enemy. And in addition to that, the withdrawal of the enemy's forces from all the territories which they entered into the Gaza Strip. Commemorating International Quds Day on the final Friday of the month of Ramadan is of great significance. It is a declaration, a renewed declaration of the unity of the Ummah and its commitment to the central cause. And in light of what the region is witnessing, the major developments taking place after the Battle of Al-Aqsa Storm and the American Zionist aggression in a dangerous and brutal way on Palestine and the region, the importance of this day is increasing to underscore that the Palestinian cause, and specifically Al-Quds, will continue to be the compass for struggle and uniting the people against the occupation. The aggressive course of the Israelis with the American partnership. This is in order to achieve a clear goal, striving to eliminate the Palestinian cause and an attempt to displace the Palestinian people from Palestine. And this is clear in the statements and the declared stances and statements from the Americans and the Israelis. I underscore that we remain committed firmly to our stance based on principle and based on ethics and values in support of the Palestinian people in whatever way we can. The resistance took the initiative with the storm to re-establish the equations of the conflict, which will not go backwards. The clock will not turn backwards, and the resistance has proven its ability to take the initiative and to go on the offense, thank God. It showed the world the incapability and the security military failure of the Israeli enemy and its inability to break the will of our people and their resistance, despite 15 months of fighting or killing and terrorism and destruction, despite the complete full-fledged support from the United States of America for the enemy and the open-ended political cover which is provided in order to commit war crimes and genocide and starvation and the assassinations. God Almighty honored us with Imam Khomeini, may God have mercy of his soul, who changed the face of the region and launched the project of coherent efforts to liberate Palestine and the army of 20 million to liberate Al-Quds. He declared a day for Al-Quds, and it is a declaration of the responsibility of the Ummah to stand with Palestine and to support Palestine and liberate Palestine. The axis of resistance, which was sponsored by Imam Khomeini, may God preserve him, on the same path as Imam Khomeini, may God rest his soul. The central aim is to support the resistance to confront the occupation.
This year, we are honoring the Day of Al-Quds in a way that a group of tyrannical criminal entities are doing every criminal act possible against the innocent people of Palestine. But on the other hand, the innocent nation of Palestine have kept their composure. They've stood up to the enemy and defended the land in an unprecedented way.
Iranians are getting ready to celebrate International Quds Day. Our correspondent Gisumi Shahmadi has spoken with a number of Iranian people to get their views on this year's occasion. Here's what they had to say.
Participating in the rallies is both a religious and a human duty. Just like all Muslims around the world, we will join in solidarity with the Palestinians to show our support.
I hope that one day, very soon, we can hold mass prayers together with Palestinians and they will achieve victory.
I will definitely participate in the rallies. It is my duty to support this cause.
This day is essential for us, and the issue that concerns Muslims worldwide is Gaza. Therefore, I not only pray for them, but also actively participate in the rallies.
The Palestinians are part of us, and we will always stand by their side.
The Palestinians fighting against oppression should know that they have our unwavering support.
Israeli forces have conducted two separate raids in the occupied West Bank, injuring four Palestinian teenagers and arresting an 18-year-old girl and her father. The raids took place near the city of Al-Khalil and the Balata refugee camp near Nablus. Elsewhere, Israeli airstrikes have targeted multiple locations in Syria's western Latakia governorate in a new wave of aggression. Footage from one of the attacks shows thick plumes of smoke rising from facilities at the White Port following the attack. In a separate strike, Israeli warplanes also targeted the Syrian Army's 110th Naval Brigade in the same province. There have been no confirmed reports of casualties so far. This follows a deadly wave of airstrikes in southern Daraa governorate less than a week ago, which killed at least seven people, including a woman. Such strikes have become more frequent across Syria since the ousting of the country's former government in December, which led to the capture of control by the Hayat Tahrir al-Sham militants. At least one person has been killed in a fresh Israeli airstrike in southern Lebanon. The new fatality came after an Israeli drone struck a vehicle in the main road in the town of Ma'arub in Lebanon's southern district of Tyre. The assassinated person has not been identified yet. The Israeli military frequently conducts airstrikes in Lebanon, often targeting resistance fighters in the south of the country. The strikes are in blatant violation of a ceasefire agreement signed between Israel and Lebanon back in November. The Israeli regime has defied calls to adhere to its obligations under the agreement, including ceasing its airstrikes and withdrawing its forces from southern Lebanon. And the United States has launched a new wave of airstrikes on Yemen, continuing its brutal aggression against the Arab country. According to Yemeni media, fresh airstrikes hit the capital, Sana'a, and the Sa'ada governorate. At least two strikes targeted Al-Daylami Air Base north of Sana'a. Five airstrikes targeted Al-Khadam and Al-Jumaima areas in Sana'a's Bani Hashish district, while eight more hit the Jarban area. Two civilians were killed and two others wounded in a U.S. strike in Khawlan district. Additionally, 17 airstrikes targeted Sahar and Al-Salem districts in Sa'ada governor, along with two strikes on the Amran area. Meanwhile, the Yemeni armed forces have carried out fresh anti-U.S., anti-Israel operations. That's it with the world news for now. Bye, everybody.
Comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
The Supplication on Thursdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who has taken away the shadowy night by His power and brought the sight-giving day through His mercy. He has clothed me in its brightness and given me its favor. O Allah, just as Thou hast spared me for this day, so also spare me for its likes. Bless the Prophet Muhammad and his household, and torment me not in it and in other nights and days by allowing me to commit unlawful acts and to clothe myself in sins. Provide me with its good, the good of all within it, and the good of everything after it, and turn away from me its evil, the evil of all within it, and the evil of everything after it. O Allah, by the protective compact of Islam, I seek mediation with Thee, and by the inviolability of the Quran, I rely upon Thee. By Muhammad, the Chosen, Allah bless him and his household, I seek intercession with Thee. So recognize my protective compact, by which I hope my need will be granted. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, decree for me on Thursday five things, which none embraces but Thy generosity and none supports but thy favors. Health through which I may have the strength to obey thee. Worship by which I may deserve thy plentiful reward. Plenty in my state through lawful provision. And that thou makest me secure in the places of fear through thy security. And placest me in thy fortress against the striking of worries and sorrows. Bless Muhammad and his household. And make my seeking his mediation as an intercessor give profit on the day of resurrection. Surely, thou art the most merciful of the merciful.
Ramadan, month of God's banquet. In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. The blessed month of Ramadan is like a rainfall on a dry desert. It is an exceptional opportunity to saturate the parched desert of our soul with this enlivening rainfall. Ramadan is the time to get rid of the hustle and bustle of everyday life and join the infinite mercy of God. Let us first listen to Ayah 185 of Surah Baqarah. The month of Ramadan is the one in which the Quran was sent down as guidance to mankind with manifest proofs of guidance and the criterion. Ramadan has provided the best chance for getting close to God and benefiting from His mercy. It is the month of prayer, supplication, and getting close to the Quran. Stay with us for the 26th episode of this series. The Prophet of Islam said about the blessed month of Ramadan, "Indeed, Ramadan has come to you with mercy, forgiveness, and blessing." It means this month begins with mercy, continues with forgiveness, and ends with blessing. In other words, in the first 10 days of this blessed month, the divine mercy opens like an umbrella above those who fast. Then, in the next 10 days, the divine forgiveness engulfs those who seek to apologize for their sins and beseech God to forgive their sins. Finally, in the third 10 or 9 days of the end of this month, the divine blessing is provided for the faithful, that is, their prayers and demands are fulfilled. Sayyid Ali ibn Tawus, one of the great scholars, Gnostics, and narrators of Hadith, of the 7th century AH, 13th century AD, describes the conduct of the Prophet during Ramadan. Upon the arrival of the blessed month of Ramadan, the Prophet's countenance would change, and he spent more time on prayer and supplication. His countenance would change more in the last third of the blessed month, so that he would keep vigil the whole night while worshipping. Other members of the Ahlul Bayt would also follow the practice of the Prophet. It has been narrated that Imam Zainul Abidin, peace be upon him, the son of Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, would be plunged in prayer, supplication, and remembrance of God during Ramadan, especially in the last part of this month. The great prophet of Islam and his infallible imams of his progeny would pay special attention to the eve of the 27th of Ramadan. According to some narrations, this night might be the night of Qadr, ordainment. Imam Zainul Abidin, also known as Imam Sajjad, peace be upon him, used to whisper in his prayers while in prostration, O Allah, grant me distance from the abode of vanity, this world, and returning to the abode of bliss and readiness for death before it comes. Why does Imam Sajjad call this world as the abode of vanity? This is because God says in Ayah 185 of Surah Al-Imran that this world is the place of delusion. Imam Sajjad, peace be upon him, appeals to God to help him remove all vestiges, this material world, and return to the eternal world to find calm and comfort. The fourth Imam used to utter these words in his prostrations in the last part of the blessed month of Ramadan. God says in Ayahs 7 and 8 of Surah Yunus, Indeed, those who have no hope to meet us and are pleased with the life of this world and find calm with it, and are oblivious of our signs, it is they whose abode is fire because of what they used to earn. The prayer for the 26th day of Ramadan reads, O Allah, make my efforts appreciated on this day, and my sins on it forgiven, and my deeds on it accepted, and my defects on it concealed. O the best of who hear. First, we ask God to make our efforts appreciated on this day. We have heard that God compensates a petty effort with a great reward. It is mentioned in Surah Dahr of the Noble Quran that Imam Ali, Lady Fatima Zahra, and their two sons, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, blessings of God upon them, fast for 3 consecutive days. But just in the moment of iftar, breaking the fasting, they gave their food to a destitute, an orphan and a captive, saying, Indeed, we feed you for the sake of God. We do not want neither a reward nor gratitude from you. That's why God says later in this surah that the effort of this celestial family is rewarded and appreciated. The condition for a deed to be appreciated is that it is done purely for God. Imam Ali, peace be upon him, says that the value of a deed depends on its intention. Next, in today's prayer, we ask God to cover our flaws and defects. Now, let us end this episode with the prayer which we recite every day. O Allah, indeed, I ask you the best of what you are asked, so give me the best of what you give.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
Andrew Irving. Knowing neither the enemy nor yourself, you will succumb in every battle. Kyrie Andrew Irving was born on March 23, 1992, in Melbourne, Australia. When he was just 2 years old, his family migrated to New Jersey, the United States. Kyrie lost his mother when he was 4 years old. His father had to raise him with the help of his sister. Kyrie started his professional basketball career in 2010 with the Duke Blue Devils basketball team at his university. Only 1 year was enough for his exceptional talent to catch the eyes of coaches in the professional American league known as the NBA.
My mom passed away when I was young, so my dad had to raise my sister and I alone. He was a great player. He even tried out for Boston once.
Irving's rise to stardom in the NBA began with the Cleveland Cavaliers, a team that had previously hosted stars like LeBron James. His brilliance was such that by the end of the season, he won the NBA Rookie of the Year award. This award is given annually by the National Basketball Association to the most successful rookie player in each season.
With the first pick in the 2011 NBA Draft, the Cleveland Cavaliers select Kyrie Irving from Duke University.
Irving plays in the point guard position. The Cleveland Cavaliers set a record with 26 consecutive losses in the 2010-2011 season, the longest losing streak among NBA teams. However, this same team won the NBA championship for the first time in 2016. One of Irving's masterpieces dates back to the 2016 finals in the game against the great Golden State Warriors team. In the crucial and final seconds, with the game tied 89 apiece, he made a beautiful three-point shot, leading the Cavaliers to their first historic championship, a moment that gained worldwide fame.
It's over! The Cavaliers are NBA champions! The drought is over! The curse destroyed! 52 years of torment and anguish has been washed away!
Following this success, the Boston Celtics acquired Irving. Prestigious team with 17 championships is the second most successful team in the NBA after the Los Angeles Lakers. Kyrie shined for 2 years with the Celtics, thrilling the stadium with his amazing moves in every game. He then joined the Brooklyn Nets. Now, at 32 years old, Kyrie Irving plays for the Dallas Mavericks. He's considered one of the best current NBA players and one of the best in the world. He is especially known for his dribbling skills, particularly the crossover move. Irving is often referred to as the best dribbler in NBA history. Some also regard him as the best shooter on earth. In one game, a commentator, impressed by Irving's extraordinary moves, even described him as non-human and possessing superhuman abilities.
Irving at the horn! Oh, Kyrie!
Irving has many fans worldwide due to his playing style and is even popular in video games. He has over 20 million followers on Instagram. In recent years, changes in Irving's behavior and demeanor have led to rumors about him, rumors suggesting that Kyrie Irving has changed his religion. However, it is still uncertain what religion he has converted to.
Welcome back to Boston. As you can see, the sun is setting here officially at 7:31 p.m., showing you an assistant coach for the Celtics pointing to their watch, probably indicating that very thing. Kyrie Irving going to the back. Now, we all know that he has fasted in the past. He has said publicly he wants to keep things private about his Ramadan observance. But I will tell you this. If he is fasting, he had to wait till sunset before he could intake any food or liquid. And as we just told you, sunset just passed. It's been 13 hours and 36 minutes.
Speculations continued, and day by day, new and clearer signs of Irving's chosen religion emerged. Finally, in 2021, Kyrie Irving officially announced in a press conference that he had converted to Islam. Irving responded to a basketball reporter's question about how he could fast and play professional sports at the same time.
Well, it's a journey with God, and I'm not alone in this. I have brothers and sisters all around the world that are fasting with me. We hold our prayers and our meditations very sacred. And when you come out here, I mean, God's inside me, God's inside you, God's inside all of us. So I'm walking with faith, and that's all that matters. And when I get a chance to do this in this type of arena and showcase my talents that have been granted to me strictly from God, I'm humbled.
For a star, it doesn't matter what position they are in. They shine in any case. In addition to professional sports, Irving has also shown his talent in the field of cinema, just like Eric Cantona, the French football star. In 2012, Irving played the role of Uncle Drew in a famous commercial film. Later, in 2015, he wrote and directed the script for the role himself. The commercial film received so much attention that eventually, in 2017, a feature film with the same name, Uncle Drew, was made in Hollywood in the comedy genre. Irving and several NBA basketball stars acted in this film. In addition to Uncle Drew, Irving has also acted in several other films and TV series, such as Kick It. Irving even ventured into voice acting at one point. In an episode of the animated series We Bare Bears, he voiced his own character. Irving may have a special talent for acting, but he has shown that his inclination towards Islam is by no means superficial. When in Ramadan 2021, the Israeli regime bombed the fasting people of Gaza, as in previous years, only a few days had passed since Irving had converted to Islam. From the very beginning, he faced a tough challenge and, by reacting to this crime, showed he had wholeheartedly and consciously connected himself to the Muslim community. At that time, he supported and backed Palestinians with emphatic and supportive posts on his social media pages. As usual, this expression of opinion caused Zionist groups to become flustered and take a stance against Irving, as any celebrity's support for Palestine is considered a threat to the legitimacy of the Israeli regime. For example, a pro-Zionist Twitter page named Sports Rabbi wrote that Kyrie Irving needs to get an education before opining on the Middle East. Additionally, the American Zionist magazine, The Nation, headlined that Kyrie Irving's comments on Palestine are a big deal. The magazine further writes that basketball savant has called for the bombs to stop, as well as new international humanism. Irving did not merely settle for silent reactions on social media. a press conference, he responded to sports journalists' questions by saying that recent events in Palestine had caused him to lose much of his sports focus and that basketball had lost its importance to him at that time.
How did it feel to be, again, so close to full strength as you get ready to wrap up the season?
Felt good, you know, just to get out there, play the game that we love. But, you know, for me personally, I'm not really, I'm not going to lie to you guys. A lot of stuff is going on in this world, and basketball is just not the most important thing to me right now. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on overseas. All my people are still in bondage all across the world, and there's a lot of dehumanization going on. So, you know, I apologize if I'm not going to be focused on y'all questions. You know, it's just too much going on in the world for me to just be talking about basketball. Like, I focus on this shit 24/7 most of the time, but it's just too much going on in this world not to address. You know, it's sad to see this shit going on. And I just try to pay it forward as best I can by speaking out, by doing things behind the scenes, you know, just living by action, really. And it's a unique balance because you're in a platform or you're in an industry where a lot of people that are surrounding it or observe it don't really get a chance to say what they really believe in. You know, they have to play it safe, or they have to worry about money, or they have to worry about what people are saying. You know, so many people are criticizing what they say. And really, you just got to say, it's just not right what's going on in the world. We're so divided and separated. It's just getting ridiculous now. You know, so many people are just choosing one side or the other. And I'm just here to say, I'm on the side with God. You know, I'm siding with God. Just treat every human being the way you expect to be treated, no matter who they are, what they look like, where they come from. If you truly believe in standing as one, then you would stand with us and fighting against us.
One of Irving's most controversial stances dates back to October 27th, 2022, when he expressed support for the Black Hebrew Israelite doctrine. Irving shared a documentary titled Hebrews to Negroes, Wake Up Black America in one of his tweets. The 2018 film, based on a book of the same name, promotes anti-Zionist ideology of the Black Hebrew Israelites. The Black Hebrew Israelites are a group that claims to be the true descendants of the ancient Israelites, asserting that real Jews are black people. They argue that modern-day Jews are not genuine descendants of the Israelites. The global Jewish community does not recognize this group as Jewish and often treats them harshly. Interestingly, the illegitimate Israeli regime, itself an occupying force, does not even allow the minority Black Hebrew community to remain in Palestine, a situation that can be seen as one of history's situational comedies. Irving's supportive post about the Black Hebrew minority was enough to spark significant controversy, with Zionists accusing him of anti-Semitism. The situation escalated to the point where pro-Zionist lobbies pressured Amazon to remove the book and film Hebrews to Negroes, Wake Up Black America from its platform. However, Amazon has not taken such action thus far.
All eyes are on Amazon, which has yet to take down an anti-Semitic film shared by a well-known basketball player. I spoke to the director of the Religious Action Center of Reform Judaism, who says companies should not be profiting off hate.
After pressure from pro-Zionist lobbies, the Brooklyn Nets announced that they would suspend their cooperation with this player for at least 5 games without pay. However, the penalty and Irving's strategic and intelligent apology, which did not show any retreat from his original stance, did not satisfy the Zionists. They considered the waves created by such figures as normalizing anti-Semitism. Various pressure from Zionist lobbies to the FBI director and the NBA commissioner did not cause Irving to back down from his original idea.
FBI Director Christopher Wray recently said the Bureau is fighting against anti-Semitism, saying more than 60% of religious hate crimes are sparked by anti-Semitism.
Now, the threats may be coming from all sides, but we're hitting back at them full force, and we're doing it from multiple FBI programs.
After this unprecedented amount of pressure, Irving again tweeted on October 29, 2022, stating that the anti-Semitic label that is being pushed on him is not justified, adding, "I embrace and want to learn from all walks of life and religions." Irving denied any religious bias and defended his initial tweet. He said that history is not meant to be hidden from anyone. "I'm not going to stand down on anything that I believe in. I'm only going to get stronger because I'm not alone. I have a whole army around me." These words from Irving were enough for the Black Hebrew Israelites to take to the streets in support of Irving. They showed what Irving meant by gaining the strength of a whole army. The support for Irving has shown that the era of Zionist lobbies dominating unchallenged is over. With increased public awareness, an independent movement has emerged in Western societies that can act as a shield for anti-Zionist voices against Zionist pressure. The Zionist struggle to silence the wave Irving started was not without reason. The Irving wave achieved its impact, drawing in one of America's most famous rappers, Kanye West, who has 32 million followers. By defending Irving's ideas, West brought even more attention to the controversy. West, who has previously faced criticism from Israelis and Zionist lobbies for his anti-Zionist statements, was once again accused of anti-Semitism and faced boycotts from certain brands.
"I could say anti-Semitic things and Adidas can't drop me. Now what? Now what?"
Of course, it was clear that Kanye West, like Irving, had thought through his stance carefully. In a clever tweet, he responded to all criticism and labels, writing, "I actually cannot be anti-Semitic because black people are actually Jews." He added, "You guys," meaning the Zionists, "have toyed with me and try to blackball anyone who opposes your goals." West also posed a thought-provoking question. "Have you ever wondered why, among all ethnic groups in history, Jews have consistently faced oppression or anti-Semitism from host societies?" He argued that Judaism as a religion or ethnicity is not the core issue. "Ordinary Jews, like followers of other religions and ethnicities, live peacefully in various societies. The problem arises when a religious or ethnic group refuses to coexist equally with others and instead seeks to separate itself, demanding a larger share of public resources." Naturally, any group attempting this path will face resistance from the majority. Throughout history, Zionists have shown that nationality holds no meaning for them. Regardless of where they were born or raised, they ultimately pursue the interests of exclusivist Judaism. Protecting their inner circle and establishing a greater Israel from the Nile to the Euphrates takes precedence over everything else. Today, Israelis, as the infantries of the Zionist movement, have turned a deaf ear to global logic and protests. As Chinese statesmen have said, Israel has made itself deaf. This is previously why Jews have historically been accused of disloyalty and betrayal by various societies and ethnic groups, leading to their expulsion. As Jamie Foxx, the famous American actor and singer, stated, "Jews killed Christ. What do you think they'll do to you?" Fox shared this statement with the hashtags fake friends and fake love, referring to alliances with Zionism. Of course, it is important to note that there are Jews, such as the Jewish community in Iran, who remained loyal to their homeland and distanced themselves from Zionism, especially in a land where Zionist media giants have portrayed Iran as an anti-Semitic country to the world. During the height of the 2023 Gaza War, BBC Persian published a report titled, "What is the Difference Between Anti-Semitism and Anti-Zionism?" This approach by the BBC Persian was noteworthy because acknowledging the distinction between anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism was previously unheard of in mainstream Western media. This discourse was essentially unrecognized as it could dismantle the Zionist strategy of labeling and discrediting supporters of Palestine. If, in the past, the refusal of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the famous American basketball player, to visit the occupied territories was seen as a symbolic slam dunk against Israel, today, Kyrie Irving's support is like a game-winning three-pointer in the final seconds. Al-Quds, the first Qibla for Muslims and the holiest city for Jews and Christians, has now become a political focal point for the world and even a gateway to spiritual enlightenment. An example is Yang, a talented American basketball player. After participating in the Palestinian Basketball League and experiencing the hospitality of Palestinians, he decided to convert to Islam during Ramadan and change his name to Ahmed. It is likely that this trend of global figures, especially athletes and artists, embracing Islam, which provokes the enemies of global peace, leading to occasional waves of Quran burnings in Western countries. The ancient land of Iran has always been a cradle of legends who stood against the darkness. Ali Dai, the second highest goal scorer in the world after Ronaldo, is one of the thousands of legends. During the 2014 Gaza War, he tied his dreams to those of Gaza's children, wishing them a future without bombs. A wish that remains unfulfilled to this day. In just 45 days of the 2023 Gaza War, nearly 5,000 children, one child every 7 minutes, was killed by the Zionist regime. On November 19, 2023, the 44th day of the Gaza War, Israel began its day not with bombs of resistance, but with the bombshell news of Kyrie Irving. Irving appeared at a press conference wearing a Palestinian keffiyeh, surprising the journalists. The Israeli newspaper Ma'ariv headlined, "Dressed in a keffiyeh, Kyrie Irving once again shows solidarity with Palestinians." The paper added that the Dallas Star, who had previously expressed anti-Zionist views and supported Palestinian struggles, appeared before and after the game against Milwaukee in traditional Arab attire to pay tribute to Gaza. The Al-Aqsa Flood Liberation Operation has achieved significant outcomes. This operation, which broke through the walls of Gaza, often referred to as the world's largest open-air prison, can aptly be described as a prison break. Just a month before this operation, we witnessed a daily and escalating trend of Quran burnings in Western countries, nations that claim to respect all religions. 40 days later, verses from the Quran, specifically from the Surah At-Tawbah, were recited openly at the United Nations.
I saw the modern manifestation of what is found in the Surah Al-Tawbah of the Holy Quran, and I quote, "And if anyone seeks your protection, then grant him protection so that he can hear the words of God, and then escort him where he can be secure," end of quote.
This is particularly striking given the United Nations, the very institution that facilitated the creation of the illegitimate Israeli state, has remained silent in the face of Quran burnings. The recent events surrounding Al-Aqsa flood operation sent a clear message to Zionist supporters. Do not bet on a losing horse, especially if that horse has been wounded in the flood. The Zionists are terrified and hope that the fate of this horse does not resemble that of the sick and losing horses in Hollywood films where their American owners deliver the final shot.
Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, let there be light, and there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint.
A critique of movies with religious themes.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Viewpoints, the movie critique program on iranradio.ir with me, Mohammad Javad, hosting this program, and Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser, my guest speakers, helping me criticize movies with religious and spiritual themes. Sayyid Abdullah, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah and thank you for having me, brother.
You're welcome. And Brother Yasser, salam and greeting to you.
Alaikum salam. Always a pleasure being with you, Brother Muhammad Jawad.
My pleasure to have you both back in the studio, actually, and always pick your brains about movies and your take on the criticism of these movies that we choose, actually, to criticize in such a program, Viewpoints. Well, one of those movies that we decided to work on is called Silence. Produced in 2016, directed by Martin Scorsese. Well, it's featuring Liam Neeson, Andrew Garfield, Adam Driver, to just name a few. IMDb gives this movie 7.2 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes 83%, which is a very high grade, actually. And Letterboxd 4 out of 5. The box office for this movie was $23.8 US million dollars. The whole movie is about Christian missionaries sent out to Japan to propagate, and Rodriguez and group, two Catholic missionaries, travel to Japan in search of their missing mentor, Freira, who is believed to have been promoting Catholicism by going against the law, obviously, in Japan. But before we move on to the questions, as is always the par for the course, for this program, Viewpoints on Iran Radio, we normally take a listen to a short trailer of this movie, Silence, produced in 2016, directed by Martin Scorsese. And then we'll be back and continue our program, Viewpoints. So stay tuned.
Our Lord said to them, go ye into the whole world and preach the gospel to every living creature.
Ferreira is lost to us. He denounced God in public and surrendered the faith.
That's not possible. Father Ferreira risked his life to spread our faith all over Japan.
It seems to me that our mission here is more urgent than ever. We must go find Father Ferreira.
This is in your hearts, then, both of you?
Yes.
Then I must trust God has put it down. The moment you set foot in that country, you step into high danger.
Welcome back to the program Viewpoints, the movie critique program on iranradio.ir with me, Mohammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser, my guest speakers, helping me criticize the movie Silence, produced in 2016, directed by Martin Scorsese. Sayyid Abdullah, what is the central theme of Silence, this movie?
I think the name says it all. That's the central theme is about the persecution of Christians in time of the Inquisitor, as they call it, where Christianity was put to death, if I can use a word, because Japan didn't look at Christianity very highly, and the Christians were persecuted, whether the believers themselves or the priests who went there, they were persecuted. And as always, which is a very common theme in every Christian movie, is that all the priests and all the high figures, they always complain to God, where the hell are you? Why aren't you helping us? Why aren't you doing something? So the priests and all the Christians, I don't know why they always complaining about God. Either you have faith.